What would you tell them young fighters to do?
Yeah, just stay in the gym.
Come on, hold on. Wait. Wait there, Mike McCollum. I've been telling these kids, you can't do this fight and then 3 weeks, 4 weeks off. You have to stay in the gym.
Simple.
If you want to do it anyway, like the real way, you have to be in the gym. You got to be a gym rat.
Dream it. Some water just come out of my mouth. Believe it. That's the passion. Become it. We're back.
Come on down.
Don't make sure you don't spit in the mic. You know.
Nah, don't worry about me. You know what I mean, the passion is my paycheck.
I love that one. Let's start. We're starting the thing already. Make your passion your paycheck.
Obviously, you know what I mean? Like for me, we'd have to go speak to one of the greatest fighters of the last 50 years.
Who's that? It's a lot of them, mate.
Nah, man. Mike McCollum is one of the greatest. Yeah, Mike McCollum, man. We have to
the body snatcher.
The body snatcher. The original body snatcher.
The Dungar gun.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Man, from yard.
I hit him down to the bodies, man. Got like yeah, the body shots.
It's the American twist yard. With the yard, man. Yo, man, you know, we just had to throw the right tongue. Throw the right tongue downstairs and lick him upstairs with the left hook.
You take your liberties. But yeah, man, we gotta talk to Mike McCollum.
All right.
He's had a fantastic.
Get him on the
career.
Black book. Get him on the John Wick.
Come on, you know
the Spencer Wick Black Book.
You know how it goes. Joining us on the line right now.
Oh my goodness,
is the body snatcher. Come the on. Original.
Man talk about Ricky Hatton. This is the original body puncher.
This is the original body
Ricky Hatton is the body snatcher too?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's not the original.
He's not the original.
Okay.
Dylan White's not the original.
Ricky's a bad boy too, so that's all right.
Dylan White is not the original.
Right. But the original is the guy we got on the line right now. And the former free weight world champion went from light middle to light heavyweight.
Come on.
Right? The one, only, Mike, the body snatcher McCollum.
You hear that, Mike? You hear the round of applause?
Well, it means that you guys again and talking to you guys. It's a wonderful feeling, man.
Yes, nah, man. You're the guy, Mike. You're the guy. I remember Manuel Stewart was saying, like, the best
technical
boxer that he ever worked with. And this is Manny Stewart, who worked with a cacophony of world champions, right?
Yes.
From out of the Kronk gym, said Mike McCollum by far is head and shoulders above anyone that I've worked with. That's now, here is a man that worked with Tommy Hearns. Here is a man that has worked, let me tell you, like on a bad boy that he worked with, but people seem to forget, like he worked with Oscar De La Hoya.
Yes.
Here is a man that has, like, you just, Hill McKenzie, go through the whole list, Milton McCrory, who you fought and you
Milton
beat.
McCrory,
you go
yeah.
through the whole yeah. list of guys that he has worked with, and he said, by far, you are head and shoulders above any of those guys technically.
Hold on, wait there. You hear that, Mike? So, come like
yeah,
a soldier.
That is true.
come on, tell them. We're going to wait one more time. Something does.
Right. Forget about it. That's
so
true.
Right. So it was the late great Bunny Grant who passed away last year, who was the first Jamaican ever.
Was that pass away last year?
Yeah, he died last year, sir. He died last year.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, right?
Oh, but, my God.
Right, but I remember speaking to him and he was saying...
What killing me? Is it natural causes or what?
Natural causes. Mm. He was saying...
Oh,
yeah. He was saying to me that when he was training and that, and you were just an amateur, he'd always say, yeah, Carl for McCollum.
What's the word together?
Yeah. Wow.
It's always cool for you. How did you learn the body shots, Mike?
Yeah.
Body guy, man. You know, body guy was training me. We was working, we sparred together. Huh. And he tell Kuro, his trainer, I want him on the hand. if you go ten rounds or 8 rounds though, you know, boxing that day. 7, 8, 10, you all go like 8, 10, 9, you know, kind of in that region. And he always said to Kuro, I want Mike at the end.
Mm.
I'm keep saying, Why you want me on the hand, man? You want to beat me up and shit, dog? I want you on the hand, man.
Yes, yes.
When you come in the ring, you keep me sharp so I can be alert with you because you're a hell of a fighter.
Mm. Well, I mean, the question I have to ask you, you know, I think it was, let me see if you got, 1986, August.
Uh-huh.
Julian Jackson comes into the ring with Mike McCallum. Julian Jackson was 29 and 0.
Wait there.
He had his chest knockout. Was big. Well, wait.
How did you survive getting stunned with that right hand in the first round?
Man, listen to me. I went to the ring, right?
Mm.
I know this boy's a bad boy.
Mm.
But you know, I was on the feet also, yeah?
Yes, sir.
I had a lot of knockouts too.
Mm.
He was a real knockout artist. You know what I mean?
Like a punch. He's a ridiculous puncher.
He was a real puncher.
I think you was 27 and 0 and he was 29 and 0. So, you know, as you say, we both had, you know, you had mostly all knockouts up until that point.
I stopped most of my guys, you know, but he knocked them out like, wow, and he goes down and like it.
Yes, yes.
You know, some of my guys, I stopped them. I beat them up under the first couple of fight, you know. Mm. But he's almost knockouts, man. Boom, and it goes down.
So
what was his
plan? So I'm saying to myself, listen to this. Think to myself, all right, I'm going to show you who's the real puncher.
Yes, man. Hold on, wait there. Yeah. I'm going to show him that one. But hold on, listen, like, you think that it's just you one come punch?
He hit you with a right hand that buckled your legs in the first round.
That was a serious shot.
That was a serious shot, you know.
I could beat it all up, man. I barely could hold up. Hit me so hard, I said, man, he played like he had done a book off my gut.
come on.
But I was just talking, I ain't got a gun, whatever. This man hit me like a mule kick.
So would you say that, you know, in your whole career, Julian Jackson was definitely the hardest puncher you ever faced?
Yes.
Wow.
This boy was dangerous, man.
Mm.
And you see how small he was?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
He didn't have a big body, he got a tiny body. This boy hit me the right hand, man. Boom, and my knees start going. What's wrong with my leg? My legs start going different ways. I'm saying, what's wrong with my legs?
Yeah. Well, I guess that's what, you know, that's another thing. Like, how would you say the conditioning aspect of the sport has changed? Do you think that the older fighters were far more conditioned than all these new fancy age running with gas marks and everything? You know, what's your view on the training today versus the training of, say, when you was fighting? And do you think that the training methods of yesteryear are far better than the ones today?
Yeah, by far.
And why do you say that? What makes it different?
But then again, I'm going to tell you something now. You talk about Bonner Grant.
Yes.
Bonner Grant was a man that I used to watch in the gym. Mm. You know, all of us, they watched me too when I was fighting. The guy coming after me was watching me and tried to copy my training style and all that stuff. Mm. But I was copying Bonner Grant. Percy Hayes used to train at the same time. But Bonner Grant was a little different. A lot different. Mm. He works. He works the bag. And I watch the way he works the bag. And I copy all of that. And, you know, put it with my style and make it nice.
Yes.
Shoot me. But Bonner Grant was a genius when it comes to working and the bag and all that kind of stuff.
So was there...
So,
go on, sir.
Go ahead, what are you saying?
No, sorry, I'm listening. I was about to ask a question.
No, talk to me. Go ahead, what are you saying?
No. I was just saying, so was it a lot of bag work? Would you say it was a lot of bag work or was it more sparring? You know, how Bunny used to work?
No, Bunny did a lot of bag work. So. And the way he do it to the body, he box the bag, then he fight the bag, body shots. Sometimes double, triple left hooks and uppercuts and hooks and all that. Hook, uppercuts, hook, back with a hook, uppercuts. And he mix it up all the time, both
yes.
hands.
Yes.
So I used to learn, I used to copy those things, you know, and try to do it my way. You know, I try to, yeah, I'm copying Bunny and I'm trying to do it the way Bunny do it, but I can't do it like Bunny. Bunny is his Bunny, you know, so I watch and try to do it like how he does it.
Yes.
But what was it? You work like sometimes 6, 7, 8 rounds in the bag, but remember, you were a professional.
Yes.
I was an amateur at the time, you know, trying to learn and all that. So you do that, you do the up and down bag, and you do the speed bag, and you jump the rope and stuff, and you do it gracefully, you know what I'm saying? I learned all of this, man, because if I learned all of this, I put it with my little style and all that, I'm going to be a bad boy. I'm talking myself, yeah.
Because I mean, I'm like you. Like I just believe that, you know, you can't get away from the nuts and bolts, and I just think that a lot of the training nowadays is unnecessary. I think that you're getting they're getting away from the real boxing, the art of the sport.
No, I'm gonna tell you something better than that. When I come to America now, right?
Yes.
And I'm working like that. People looking at me and wondering, they're amazed, they laugh. They know, oh, you work that back for good. They don't say it, but you can see it in the face, no?
Yes.
Like, oh, you work like that. But I'm thinking of Bunny Grant. That's how Bunny Grant used to work. And I'm doing stuff he used to do because over time I started to get better at it because I sit back down and watch him work the bag, man. Watch him train, man. And I do just what he does.
Okay.
I do so much that I get good, like, well, not like him, but I get good, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But he's still a master. Now we start to train together because he used to have fights, professional fights. And he always talked to Kuro, like I said, Kuro, I need this guy, I need that guy. But my column on the end. I'm saying, why am I in the end all the time? I want to start first. He said, my column on the end. Cool, my column on the end. So I go to Bunny and I said to Bunny, why y'all don't want me in the end? He said, he laughed and said, ha ha. So why are you laughing? Tell me why I'm in the end. He said, all right, I'm going to tell you, son. I was a young man, you know what I mean?
Yes.
I was 16, 17.
Mm.
He said, you got good reflexes and you got good speed with the jab. When I run all them rounds and get a little tired, I want you to come with a quick jab on the end because if I don't get away from that, I'm going to get beat up. I get hit.
So you kept him sharp?
Yes. That's what he was telling me. So I said, well, okay.
So when that we spin and we look at your career, Mike, yeah, there is... Back then, we never had like no internet or things like that. For me to get the results was teletext or when it on boxing, I had to go to the bookie shops. I'd have to walk into the bookies. As a youth, they let me in just for me to get the boxing results. They let me come in there and find the boxing results.
Okay.
So what stands out for me is October 19th, 1984.
Come on.
Sean Mannion.
You're not even looking at Boxrec.
Come on, man. When you become the first Jamaican to become a world champion.
Come on, round of applause.
You win the WBA title, which was vacated by Roberto Duran because you was meant to fight Roberto Duran, and Emmanuel Stewart, who was your manager and trainer at the time, put Tommy Hearns in.
When I put Thomas Hearns,
who was a WBC champion who won the title from Wilfred Benitez. He put him in for the title shot.
Okay.
So as he put him in for the title shot, Mike McCollum said, "Chat, I'm gone." And he went to Lou Duva. Because like Manuel Stewart at that time was kind of like a father figure to you. How much did that hurt you that Manuel Stewart didn't put you in for the title?
Listen. I didn't tell me he's going to do that. I don't understand that. I get some money, I step aside, get some money, and then go fight the winner. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because he went over to Duran and telling me, the manager met Duran and me, after me, and he wanted to fight. So I said, no, he's fighting because he's number one mandatory. Oh, I step aside and make him go on, and he was not kind of type of title and all that stuff.
Mm.
And then tell me, man, I don't want to fight you. Yeah, because you give me the man Thomas Hearns. Why are you going to fight me? Yeah, you want to put him with Thomas Hearns with bigger payday and all that shit. So you know what I mean?
Well, at the time, Tommy was a bigger name than you were. But I just felt exactly. Exactly. And it was a big fight between Roberto Duran and Tommy Hearns. But regardless of that, you earned your right because you were number one contender. And it was like
for more than a year, man.
Yeah. Well, I had him hanging there.
I've been more than a year waiting for this type of shot, man. Mm. And this man come tell the man to fight Tommy again. Of course, it's more money and it's a bigger fight.
Mm. So how did it feel when how did it feel when you won a world title?
Oh man, relief. The release, man. I was saying, woo, I won the title.
Mm.
I don't care how I did, I won the title. So it's good.
Yeah, it wasn't an easy fight.
Great, man.
Shawn Mannion was a tough man. Dude. Seriously, you want to see the toughness? Tough. He was a tough brother, man.
Mm.
Differently tough
guy. Yeah, rugged guy, too.
So you win the world title.
Yeah.
Then you end up fighting one of Manny's fighters.
What was it, Braxton?
Braxton, yep, that's right. Braxton used to think it was Michael Jackson. Braxton. That's a wet look. Guy used to think it was Michael Jackson.
Braxton
used to beat me up in the gym, man.
Well, Braxton used to beat you up in the gym.
Yeah, man.
For real? Well, it never looked like that, man. In the fight, boy.
Fighting is different. Listen, from the gym.
The man used to come in the gym, right? Well, he used to pressure me, right? And make it move and all the time, be throwing punching and crazy. The man hit the body to the head and all that kind of stuff. The thing I can shape, and I'm saying, it was completely to work out and shit. Body to the head, all right. And we have some good work. Sometimes I get beat up, the man beat me up. You know, we go back and forth.
Mm.
But it was rough, it was good work. Hard work, good hard work.
Okay. But you beat him up comprehensively. You beat him up bad.
Yeah.
A fight
I said to myself.
A fight I wanted to talk about was the Donald Curry fight.
Mm.
That was
Donald Curry.
That's one of the greatest knockouts of all time.
The KO. That's what you call a KO. Yeah.
Right uppercut to the body, look, left hook to the head.
That was a bad boy, man.
Yeah, Donald Curry was a bad boy as well, right?
Oh, man. That was a dangerous man, man.
He wobbled you as well.
I see where they call him the Cobra. Was cunning. He stay right there looking at you like them snakes. I'd make a movie. They watch you, right?
Come on.
As you make that movie, stop. You know what I mean? Man, hit me jab in the right hand and hit me jab. I said, what? But they don't hit me like that before.
Yeah.
No? I never get hit like that before, like those who hit, pop, and clean shots. I'm saying, wait a minute. Nah, man, something's wrong, man. You're not moving your head, Mike.
Come on. This is priceless. Listen, man, come on. This is priceless information.
The way you finished him with that, you tricked him with a shot, you went down to the body with the right uppercut.
The left hook.
Right, look, the week of the fight, right? Week before the fight. No, I know the week of the fight, because like it's Saturday night, so Monday, right? We're doing all our physical training in the gym, man. Georgie Ben said to me, like, Curry, he's cunning. I said, what? He's cunning and slick. And what is dangerous about him? He reacts to everything.
Mm.
And he reacts good, you know what I mean? Like, he slipped the right hand over the top, all that kind of stuff. He's good like that. I said, and how I beat him? I said, you got to slip the jab over here. And when you slip the jab over here, you hit him with the right uppercut. When you come with the right hand, because he said the jab over the side, the right hand coming the side, you slip it. I have to show you. Slip it with the right uppercut to the body and then throw the hook on top. I work on that shot for that week.
Wow.
And that's the shot that got you the victory.
Yeah, man. That shot, man. Maybe a big time fighter, man.
Excellent.
A million dollar shot.
Then you move up in weight.
Yes.
Right? You were unsuccessful in the first fight against Sambu Kalambe. But I remember, because I've spoken to you about this many a times, I know, like, you suffer from jet lag. You come in, like, a couple of days before the fight. Ignorant yard. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Never know what's going on. That's why
You came in a couple of days. And then, after that, Sambu Kalambe goes to fight unification with Michael Nunn. He gets stripped of his WBA title. Michael Nunn knocks him out in one round. The title's now vacant. And we have a really good fighter over here in the UK who was European champion at the time, British and European champion, in Harold Graham.
Harold Bomber Graham,
who's most probably Britain's greatest fighter never to win the world title. And it's just a sad thing that he had to run into Mike McCullum that night.
Hey.
Because that was a hard, drawn-out battle.
Beatdown.
There was a beatdown that you gave him, man. What's your thoughts on Harold Graham?
We fought, did we?
Yeah, Harold Graham, Harold Bomber Graham, the English dude.
Oh, Bomber Graham, man. Bomber Graham is sick, man. Bomber slick like hell, man.
Come on.
Bomber, give me the head and take it back. I stick out the tongue out and then I said, man, I'm going to knock this guy's tongue out. <my head.">
Come on. Yeah.
He may take it back and all of it. I jab and slip and give him tongue. I said, what? That's all you got?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, this.
I'll get close to the beat to the body. So I started, Mr. Ford said to me, you have to hit him to the body, Mike.
Yeah.
Slow him down.
Because then you was working with the great Eddie Futch. People don't understand that.
Yeah.
You working with Eddie Futch at that time. Are you
serious?
Yeah, and I said to him, I'm going to beat this boy. I got him, put him in the hole, and you can't touch him, man. He's quick. That's what he laughed and said, yeah, I know he's quick, but you stay close to him to the body.
Yeah.
Early rounds, just try to keep it in the body. Come out of this corner and say, yeah, you're doing it just right. Keep it to the body. And when it comes to seventh and eighth round, Mama start get to my speed level, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you slow him up.
All that quickness that was a quick one. And start touching with the jab and all that, you know what I mean? And then I think that's what winning the fight really.
Then
because he was a slick guy.
Then you fight, because I'm going through all the British fighters that you fought, even though it's Irish British, but then you fought Steve Collins. Steve Collins. Mm-hmm. A tough fight for you. That was a hard night.
Well, it was a rough night. But I even took the body to again. I boxed him again. You see, you gotta slow these young boys down, man. Remember, I'm an old man.
Yes.
Come to them. So I have to get with them. So if I don't touch him to the body, I can get them slow. You know what I mean? Everyone gonna leave me, man.
Mike, what was fascinating to me, cause, you know, in a 16-year career, having tremendous fights, three with James Toney, which most notably stands out for me.
The first fight with James Toney. James Toney, when I was down at Sky and he was on the show with me, said that Mike McCullum taught him boxing.
You see that?
James Toney said that to me. Period.
Yeah, he told me that too, but I know that.
Yes, sir.
Because after I deal with him, I go back and study. I go do exam. I go do exam on me, you know, and study.
Yes, sir. But, you know, as I was saying, you know, in this illustrious career that spans 16 years, you've never been stopped. And that's a testimony to the skills. You know, you fought Roy Jones. And, even then, I was saying, this guy's a, because you know,
he's old man then.
Yeah, old man. Yeah,
I was old. Yeah, old man then. Yeah, and if I was young man, he wouldn't fight me young. Do everything that fight me young. You don't see that.
Yes.
I try to get him young until now, and not fight me.
Okay.
I'm get old and say he ain't fight me.
So, if you had any advice to give any young fighters coming out right now, what would you tell them to do? What would you tell them to do, Mike?
If I come again, I didn't get
advice for any young fighters coming up.
Mm-hmm.
What would you tell them young fighters to do?
Yeah, to stay in the gym.
Come on, hold on. Hold on. Wait. Wait there, Mike McCollum. Because I've been telling these kids, you can't do this fight and then 3 weeks, 4 weeks off. You have to stay in the gym.
Simple.
If you want to do it anyway, like the real way, you have to be in the gym. You got to be a gym rat.
Love that. Come on, more advice.
You know,
please.
You go in the gym, out the gym, do the karate, run around.
Yes, Mike. Come on. Yeah, so you have to stay.
You
got to
be a gym rat.
Anything else?
Yes.
Anything else? Give us some more.
You have to love the trade. Stay in the gym and train every day. Not every day. You don't train on Sundays, yeah?
Yes.
I used to train Monday to Saturday.
Sorry to cut you there. Did you train twice a day or once a day?
Or twice, man.
Twice. When you say twice.
Sometimes three.
So
run in the morning.
Yes, that's what I wanted to know. Run in the morning.
And train in the afternoon.
Train
in the afternoon.
Yes.
And sometimes I go back into the gym, the L gym, and do some, you know, workout again there. Sometimes whenever I fight, like championship fights and all that.
Yes.
When I got big fights, I train three times a day, man.
Fantastic advice.
You know what I mean?
So, when we're looking at for your career, we had the Fab Four with Hagler, Leonard, Hearns, and Duran. You were the fifth one, so you could have been like the fifth star. You never got none of those kind of fights with those guys, right?
No, I don't want to. Listen, I used to beat up Tommy in the gym, man.
Seen that spar? Have you seen the spar?
I used to beat up Tommy in the gym,
have you seen the spar with Mike McCollum and Tommy Hearns sparring? It's on YouTube for the young guys.
I'm
going
to watch that.
Right. Now, it's a regular thing because I remember there's a time after you beat Braxton, after you beat Morton McCrory, you went to Emmanuel Stewart and said, yeah, I want Tommy next. And he said, yeah. And he gave you a picture of Tommy Hearns and said, that's the only Tommy that you're going to get.
Wow.
Yeah.
So would you say? I mean,
I was gonna say.
So would you say that Manny definitely protected Tommy from you?
100%. I used to beat up Thomas Hearns in the gym, man. It's fine. One day, she tell me what I made down, man, and shake him head. And from that day, we never spar again.
Come on, press the button.
So I'm saying, why are you shaking your head, man? I'm just dropping my head and shaking my head. So I can tell in my next letter, man, I can't beat him up, man. I don't care what I try. I'm trying all different moves and all that. I'm covering it different. And I start hitting to the body and hitting to the head, man. And both hands to the body to the head. And I'm dropping my head, man. Stand up in the car and I'm dropping my head. I'm shaking my head.
Okay.
And I look at him and I said, well, you all right, man? And he just look at me. And I realized that, you know what? What happened after that? We don't spar again. We didn't spar again.
How did Tommy's power compare to Julian Jackson?
No, man. Nobody trusts Julian Jackson.
Wow.
Tommy got good right hand.
Yes.
Hard right hand. But Julia hit you with both hands, man. And your neck hit me with a buckle. Julia Jackson? Nah, oh, man. That's a deadly man, man. He's dangerous. Legal weapon, man. The man punch a hard man to get it, man. And he knows you, though.
Yes.
That's what makes him too dangerous. Yes. He punch you. Boop, boop, and look for you. Style up and look for you like.
Oh, man,
I drop.
Come on. Oh, man, Mike, I'm going to tell you something. This has been one of the most entertaining shows we've done so far. Because you just keep it.
Well, you know, when you call me, you have to make sure that you're ready for me. You know what I mean? Because I'm going to tell you how it goes. Just like it was.
Yes. And that's why this is called The Fight Is Right. And it's as we're talking,
we're watching your spar.
I'm watching your spar, and I just see the triple jab and then a right hand to the body, straight. Come on,
yeah. Then the man do different things from the other people, man.
Yeah, you are definite legend.
Of the way, little one, then I run out of a place like what I can now say to him. When are you gonna fight me, man?
Mm.
Me? Yeah, you. What do you mean, you?
So it's official. Mike McCallum was the most avoided man in boxing at that time.
Of course he was, and the most underrated. And it's only now that we're looking back and we have to.
In my third time, I showed over beat me up. And Thomas can't beat me up. That gym, I'm trying hard. I think that can't beat me. I'm shaking bed. I should say to you, by the I can't do it.
Look at that. Look at that work inside. Jesus Christ. I'm just looking at your body work inside with Tommy Hearns.
Yeah.
And then you lick him with about 4 or 5 to the body, then through the right uppercut, left hook, and then spin out. Beautiful boxing.
See, these guys don't know
Tommy,
boxing.
Listen, man, I'm telling you, one day we're going to work. I'm telling you, you're going to be in the corner because knowledge is power. And I believe that, you know, someone with your knowledge and experience has a tremendous amount of stuff to give back to boxing, you know. I don't like to talk things too soon, but you know, I believe that we will meet somewhere down the line.
100%.
And I'm bringing you in. And on that note, Mike the Body Snatcher McCallum, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you live. Where are you now? Vegas? Or where are you?
Yeah.
You're in Vegas? Live from Las Vegas. Mike, the Body Snatcher, McCallum.
Thank you, Mike. Love you. I'm going to phone you later.
What a fantastic man.
Trust me. You know what I mean? And he breaks down things so, like he ain't got a care in the world.
He just tells the truth.
He just tells the truth.
You know what I mean? Beat up Tommy Hearns.
So beat up, damn it.
Damn it. But he's real, and you know, the highlight of the interview or the red flag for me.
You have to be a gym rat.
You got to be a gym rat. You got to be a gym rat. You know the little rat. You know, like a thing them there run on the floor. Bro, I'm serious.
You rat, you little rat.
But you know, he just to me, it's never been complicated. You know, they say boxing is the hardest sport in the world. Well, then you're not going to really get that far taking it and approaching it like a part-timer. You got to live this thing. And that goes to my fighters and any fighters, you know.
Yeah.
Knowledge is there for everybody. I mean, we live in an internet age now. All these things is readily available. It's just not as though I'm coming up with some secret manual to training. But it's just whatever it is, you get back what you put in, you reap what you sow. I say it all the time.
Simple as that. There's no abracadabra to it.
Mm-mm.
Right? There's no abracadabra to it. You want something, go grow for
sajam.
It. Right, you just got to grow for it. Simple as that. And then, was it?
That was interesting though, where he said, when I asked him who was the harder puncher, Tommy Hearns or Julian Jackson, he said, come on, man.
Listen.
Julian Jackson.
Julian Jackson is a ridiculous puncher. All you got to do is look at Julian Jackson's fight when he fights Harold Graham.
Oh.
Right? That's horrid.
Flattened.
Yeah, horrid knockout.
And Graham was doing so well.
He was doing excellent, Graham was doing excellent in that fight.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I mean? One slip of concentration.
Yeah, because that's all it takes. And that's kind of like Deontay Wilder. He seems to have that same thing.
Yeah, he does.
Because I was looking at the way he throws the left hook, and it's like a slap, but you can see the effect that it has on fighters, you know? And I realised that the first knockdown of Fury was the uppercut, innit?
Yeah, it was the uppercut. Yeah, it was the uppercut, and he put him over.
It's serious. The guy, and he remember...
You was ringside for it.
Yeah, I was ringside, but, you know, the angles, and then I realised he knocked down Ortiz. He knocked out Ortiz with an uppercut. So this guy, any angle is dangerous.
And any hand.
Jeez. So yeah, Mike McCallum, great guy, veteran in the game, wealth of knowledge and experience.
Yeah.
Which you can't buy, borrow, or pretend to have.
Seriously. If anyone want to learn boxing, just watch the first James Toney Mike McCallum fight, which was in 1991. Go and watch that. I think it was October, right?
That was a draw, right?
It was a draw.
Mm.
I mean, I thought Mike McCallum won the fight. But regardless of that, it's an excellent, excellent fight.
A lot of these, that's the great thing about this show, Spence. A lot of these kind of like refreshers for me, you know, because fights I've watched. And when I go back and revisit these shows we have, it makes me go back and watch these old fights.
I'm telling you,
because they're they're the nuts and bolts.
Of course they are. But Mike McCullum stylistically was just a very, very superb fighter. And he was a boxer puncher, but when he was a light middleweight, he was an out and out puncher. Most of his guys rated the top team fighting for the world title were knockouts. He was just knockout guys. But it wasn't like, as he said himself, like he didn't like clap them, knock them out. He would bust them up, drop them, right? Beat down, right?
Yeah.
But when you talk about Julian Jackson would touch you.
And gone.
And you're gone. I mean, go. And
where does that power come from?
You know what? I don't know, you know, because there's a couple of guys who kind of possess that kind of magic kind of punching power, right? Mm. On these shows, Wayne Alexander.
Oh.
Wayne Alexander had that punching power. We can't turn around and say he never. Wayne Alexander, like his knockout of Takalu.
Oh, I remember being a ringside
for that. Yeah.
I was there because David Haye fought the same night, innit?
Yeah, David Haye fought Carl Thompson.
Hey, and he lost
we should have got Carl Thompson on the phone, you know, but. Yeah, I mean, maybe we could save him for
yeah, that's a good one. Good guess, yeah. New year. Yeah.
We got to save Carl. Carl will have some gems. But yeah, that's ridiculous punching power.
Oh. And Wayne has such a weird style. It looked like he was getting touched up to the body. But when you go back and watch the tape, he was just waiting for that shot.
Yeah, I know, to throw that left hook. Vicious puncher. So we look at, like, if you look at, like, we look at vicious punches. Like, Nigel Benn was a vicious puncher.
Mm.
Right? I remember when Nigel Benn first come out and, like, and it seemed like every week he was on. Seconds Out, promoted by Frank Warren. He was managed then by Burt McCarthy. And Nigel Benn used to just clap out guys, man.
Mm.
It was just ridiculous. But as you start to go higher up,
yeah,
not like the punch power evaporates, but guys are more cute than to tuck up.
Not to tuck up right
just
shots.
Like when Wayne Alexander fought Harry Simon, if Harry Simon was anyone else, he would have knocked him out.
Yeah, for sure.
He got knocked out, but it was because it's Harry Simon. And he had that wealth of experience and knew what to do. You used to train Harry.
I trained Harry. Yeah, and great Harry. Experience for me. He actually credited me. He said, other than his first main coach, he believed I was the best coach he ever trained. That was high praise for me.
Just coming in the game.
And, you know, coming from that. And things like that motivated me. So I always try to motivate trainers, young trainers in the game and want to, you know, realize that. I always tell him that it's not a journey, it's a process.
Simple as that.
It's not a journey, it's a process.
Right.
So I don't think you're going to just come in this and you're up there already. You got to go through the process.
Exactly.
I've had a lot of knocks in this game, but I realized I always took it as the process.
Right.
To get
just
into
like it. The famous saying says that happiness is not a destination, it's a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing with life and boxing.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Spencer. The master. Knowledge.
We're trying out here, B. We're trying.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. And I want everyone to have a happy New Year. You know, like I said already, 2020 means what, Tun?
2020 vision. Do not let a blind man proofread your 2020 vision.
Period. Because they can't even read the bro.
Dream it. Believe it. Become it. And I'm going to wait.
Dream it. Believe it.
Remix.
Become it.
Yes, sir.
Come on down.
Let's have a great new year. This is the year to be happy, to be merry, to be prosperous. It's going to be a good one. And what a way to start the new year off with the body snatcher.
Simple as that.
Remember to like, comment and subscribe to the Stamina for Soul YouTube channel.